So, good afternoon, friends. Today's podcast is on stress arising within our Dhamma practice. Primarily, it's noticed on our cushions. Stress is always the response from wanting whatever it is that we're experiencing to be different than it is. And often that can occur during Dhamma practice. Certainly when the framework of the Eightfold Path is not followed or engaged with, and trying to substitute other practices can create great stress inadvertently. And let me begin with that, just substituting a meditation practice that has the intent other than what the Buddha taught, to simply develop concentration. So when we're looking for our meditation practice for developing experiences, whether mystical or mundane, they're almost always going to lead to some type of stress, or at the very least, not help to develop concentration. And it's concentration that we're looking to develop in meditation rather than anything else. And it's from a well-concentrated mind that we eliminate stress. We also maintain a fine focus on what to gain insight into, which is the impermanence or the arising and passing away of all impermanent phenomena, including and primarily stress. So the Buddha described the common human problem of having a human life as there is dukkha, or dukkha occurs. That's the first noble truth. It simply states that as a consequence of having a human life, there's going to be stress. There's going to be disappointing and unsatisfactory experiences. And certainly in our meditation practice, when we're looking to have any other experience except just the well-focused experience of deepening concentration, it's easy for disappointing and unsatisfactory experiences to arise. And if that's kept in mind, that whatever occurs during meditation practice, we're there to deepen concentration. When stress does arise, and it'll always arise in one of two ways, either within our thoughts or within our thoughts and experienced in our body as pain or discomfort in some way, to simply remind ourselves that we're doing this to deepen concentration, and we do that by being mindful of the sensation of breathing in our body. So you bring your mind back to the sensation of breathing in your body. You acknowledge that that you are now engaged in the meditation practice, and this is what it's for. And typically, the stress will fall away. Now, that relates to the second noble truth, that craving originates and clinging perpetuates suffering. So when we are engaging in a meditation practice for anything other than deepening concentration, stress often arises because we have the wrong focus. In other words, as the Buddha would describe it, it's wrong concentration or wrong meditation, meaning the intention is wrong. So now getting off our cushions in our day-to-day life, where we're hoping to integrate the entire Eightfold Path, the beginning of the Eightfold Path teaches us where stress arises, and it initially arises from wrong view, from the view that things should be anything different than they are, and ignoring the fact that impermanence is one of the three marks of existence. Impermanence is the first, and not self-characteristic, a misunderstanding of who and what we are, and because of the interplay of those two, suffering arises. So right view acknowledges that there's going to be stress in life, and the Buddha describes awakened right view, a fully mature right view, as a view that completely understands stress. So backing that off a little bit to when we're just prior to our awakening, we understand that that's what occurs in life, and we cease reacting to that. Excuse me. And that leads us to the second factor of the Eightfold Path, right intention, which is the intention to recognize and abandon craving and clinging. So now we're back on our cushion. We have integrated at least those two factors in our life. And now on our cushion, we remember when something comes up that is stressful, that stress is simply a part of life. It arises and passes away. Our intention on our cushion is to recognize and abandon craving and clinging, meaning craving for wanting any experience to be different than it is, or the opposite of the same, the opposite of the same coin, aversion, which is an aspect of craving, wanting our meditation session to be any different than it is. We recognize that that is rooted in a wrong view, and we simply come back to the sensation of breathing, and immediately that stress subsides. And then we can start bringing in the other factors of the Eightfold Path, and as we integrate that, we will greatly diminish stress arising during our meditation practice. So the next factor of the Eightfold Path is right speech, and an important factor of right speech that is often overlooked is what we're telling ourselves, that self-talk. And so when we recognize that our self-talk is in some way hurtful or judgmental of ourselves or of the practice of what we're engaged in, simply recognize it. It's not useful to abandon, to analyze that. Simply recognize that we're caught up in wrong speech directed at ourselves, and simply let that go. And again, come back to the sensation of breathing. And every time we do that, every time we recognize on our cushion or off our cushion that we're straying from the framework of the Eightfold Path and come back within the path, we are abandoning any of the stress-inducing experiences that we are creating in our own minds. So when the Buddha talked about mindfulness of the Eightfold Path as it relates to the Eightfold Path, and this is the second application. The Buddha taught meditation only in two applications. One is the four foundations of mindfulness that I talk about often, and the other is to be mindful of each factor of the Eightfold Path. And what that means, in the Buddha's words, is that when you are, when you're in wrong view, to be mindful of wrong view and enter and remain in right view. That's a conscious choice to direct your thinking outside of holding in mind wrong view and the aspects of life that are rooted in wrong view, and bring your mind into right view, the view that understands the arising and the passing away of stress in a dispersonal way. And then he said to be mindful of wrong intention and enter and remain in right intention. Again, the same application of mindfulness, to simply recognize that you might be intent on craving for something to be different than it is, to recognize that and come back into right view. The right view is the release of that very craving. Those are the words that the Buddha used. And again, for the rest of the factors of the Eightfold Path, to be mindful of wrong view and come back into, be mindful of wrong speech and come back into right speech. Be mindful of wrong action, come back into right action, etc., etc., etc. Now, going back or going forward to the end of the path, when you're in meditation and you feel stress arising, you know that you are engaged in a unskillful meditation practice. Simply acknowledge that and come back to the sensation of breathing, and stress will subside. So to kind of put a final way of looking at all of this, anytime that you notice that stress is arising, whether it's directly in your Dhamma practice or just in your life in general, you can remind yourself that you're caught up in a wrong view, and that view is reflecting in a self-reflective image of yourself that is simply false. And to remind yourself when stress arises that this is not me, this is not mine, this is not myself. Come back to the sensation of breathing. Bring your mindfulness back into what is occurring in front of you. Recognize that it is all impermanent, that all phenomena arises and passes away of its own accord. In other words, there's nothing we have to do about it, and there's nothing we can do about it, there's nothing we should do about it, except simply remain mindful of what's occurring. And that will immediately diminish the stress in our life and in our Dhamma practice. So any time that your Dhamma practice seems stressful, especially if you're practicing what the Buddha taught as a Dhamma practice, bring the framework of the Eightfold Path, become mindful of the path that the Buddha taught as a path for liberation and freedom. And without doing any analysis, without a whole lot of effort, with great gentleness towards yourself and the Dhamma, stress will subside, and you'll be back in the mindfulness of the Dhamma as the Buddha taught, mindfulness of the Dhamma. Now, if you're practicing some other modern form of Buddhism, and you're not able to do that within the framework, and I can't go into the nearly endless frameworks that modern Buddhism has developed as Buddhist practice, there really is no solution for that, as far as I know. And I did practice in many of the modern schools of Buddhism. And I can tell you there was always a subtle amount of stress while I was practicing the modern forms of Buddhism. I didn't realize it because it was obscured by the continual focus on the acquisition of whatever was presented there. And it wasn't until I developed the Buddha's Dhamma that I even recognized that I was creating a lot of stress in my life from my Dhamma practice, and through the concentration developed through Shamatha Vipassana meditation was I able to, in fact I should say, it was only because of that that I was able to recognize what I was doing in a so-called Dharma practice, and eventually abandon that and develop the great peace that is found within the framework of the Eightfold Path. So I hope you found this today's Dhamma talk helpful. Please feel free to contact me at any time through the website, I will have another podcast next Wednesday. Peace.
Thank you for listening. Please visit crossrivermeditation.com for guided meditations and instruction and Dhamma articles, recorded talks, and videos. We rely on donations to support these talks. If you find benefit from these talks, please consider a donation at crossrivermeditation.com. These talks are copyrighted and are distributed under a Creative Commons License 4.0. Please feel free to contact me through crossrivermeditation.com. Peace.